Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Gross. That was just such an ugly game, Jake. A week after an ugly game, certainly an ugly offensive performance last week. And this week wasn't much better. The Seahawks offense has now put up 13 points across 8 quarters of play. And they are not looking like the strength of this team at all, which is what they were pitched as, certainly what we thought they would be heading into the season. And Jake, you know, not to call you out here, but you're home, you have a cold right now, and I'm kind of hoping, like I'm a little bit hoping that you know, maybe taking a little bit of Benadryl or whatever leads to a little bit of honesty here, because I feel like an honest conversation is what we need. Like, I feel like what we should do is just maybe all of us, like, just, you know, get some cold medicine, sit around, and just heal together. Figure out what the problem is. Let's be honest with each other here, Jake.
Well, I would love to be honest in this situation, because right now at 3-7 with this team effectively being out of the playoffs, and I don't care. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care you know, if any of the players or the coaching staff say, hey, we're still in it. We got a 1% chance, this, that, and the other. You tell yourself whatever you want. But this season, in terms of your opportunity to get to the playoffs, is over. And what we saw and what we witnessed yesterday was – just, I mean, if you were shell-shocked by what you saw against Green Bay, to me, this should disgust you in terms of what you saw in Arizona. Arizona did not come into this game fully loaded. You had Colt McCoy in at quarterback, not Kyler Murray. You didn't have DeAndre Hopkins on the field. You didn't have your starting left guard for the Arizona Cardinals. And their biggest playmaker outside of Hopkins that everybody forgets about, Chase Edmonds, their running back, he was out in this game too. And you get effectively blown out if their kicker doesn't miss 2 kicks by a wide margin, right? So, I mean, just looking at it, watching Colt McCoy come in here, you know, shred this defense apart, watching this offense be inept is the best word that I can describe or be most positive about this offense. I mean, it was disgusting on both sides of the ball, to be quite honest with you, Stacy, and it just is really disappointing because their back was against the wall. This was supposed to be their best shot, and man, they didn't take advantage of any of the opportunities that were in front of them yesterday.
I think the really frustrating thing for me is not only did you see some recurring themes for this season, right, like a lack of offensive identity, or let's get even more specific. Recurring themes this season have been like, where's Eskridge wasn't really there last week. He wasn't really here this week. You haven't really seen much of anything. I'll ignore the chunk of time in which he was on the injured reserve. Another recurring theme, for instance, would be, you know, like Russell Wilson being off. That's been a recurring theme heading out of last year and then obviously into this season. What's up with Russell Wilson? Not a recurring theme for the Seahawks as a whole or for his career, but certainly a recent pattern. Bigger issues, though, this is kind of where it's frustrating for me. There are bigger issues with this team that are not just issues this year, but are recurring problems. And I, for the life of me, cannot figure out why it keeps happening for the Seahawks. It's issues on third down. Like, you weren't just horrible there last year. You've been pretty bad there for a while now. Why are you so bad on third down? And I'm sorry, it's not because you're converting on first down. It's not because you're converting on second down. Because you have the second fewest first downs in football. Like, it's not something where it's like you're moving down the field and you just happen to get unlucky on third. No, you're not good at all at converting and at getting those plays in. It's issues with giving up yardage, which has gradually increased defensively year after year since 2015. You know what I mean? Like, these have been things that have happened year in and year out. I saw Danny Kelly of The Ringer, comma friend of the show, who was complaining about Russell Wilson saying after the game, yeah, I wish we would have done more up-tempo. Yeah, I feel like I've heard that 1,000,005 times before. Why don't you just go more up-tempo? Like, it's like the same things over and over and over again, rinse and repeat when it comes to just football fundamentals with this team.
Yes, and it's tiresome. honestly, it is tiresome. And it gets to the point where you look at this team and you look at the same issues that you just pointed to. Third down, pass defense, run defense. You talk about offensively staying stagnant and have zero flow and zero rhythm in that game whatsoever. These are all issues that should be figured out. These are all issues that have been stemming for, and as you pointed out, not just for this season, not for a half a season last year, but quite honestly, it's been going on for quite some time now. And so this to me, as I've said before, and I said after the New Orleans Saints game, is that everything should be on the table. Every single thing should be on the table in terms of how you improve this team moving forward. That's the discussion that I want to have as we address this team moving forward, because that is really what this, you know, these last seven games are going to be about, is evaluating where you go. Where do you go from here? And when I say everything's on the table, yeah, I mean Pete Carroll, John Schneider, are they the right guys for the job? Should they trade their stars like Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, DK Metcalf, you name it, to be able to get themselves new draft picks and to get younger and to try and get your cap space back at some point in time? Is that the right move for this team moving forward? I think everything should be on the table, because right now what they're doing, as you said, rinse, lather, repeat. And so far, Stacey, the difference has been the fact that at least one of the things that you could bank on is that Russell Wilson has played so well over the past few years. And this year, honestly, has been, and since, you know, the second half of last year, we have not seen the same Russell Wilson being able to cover up for a lot of those mistakes. And so I just look at this past game and I'm just thinking to myself, how are they still in this situation? How is this offense not found an identity at all at this point? How have they struggled so mightily on third down when they have so much talent? How has this defense not found a way to utilize their best players and put them in the best positions to have a true impact on the game? All of it is just tiresome, Stacey. I'm so frustrated by it. But right now,
it's so bad it's making Jake sick, you guys. It's physically making Jake ill. Listen to him. Listen to him, Seahawks. You did this.
It's stressing me out. I'm losing hair. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that, honestly, this has been something that we've alluded to, Stacey, and I don't like coming back here and saying, well, I told you so. I told you these were issues. But these are some of the things that we were addressing and talking about years ago. Even when you and I and Curtis Rogers were doing the Seattle Sports at Night show, these are little things that we saw that were continuing to happen that weren't changing, that weren't getting addressed. And eventually, you know what ends up happening is that it catches up to you. It comes back and you're 3-7, and now you're looking at yourself going, how the heck did we get here?
Yeah, what's tough about it, and we're going to get into this later in the show, because I want to take apart all the different layers to this onion. And one of those questions is going to be like, what's Seattle's biggest problem? We're going to open up phone lines at 1, just like we do every single Monday, every single Friday, give you guys the mic to sound off. So I'll give you the number to call and the question leading up to 1. But it's going to be centered around Seattle's issues right now. And the biggest issue right now. And again, we're going to get to that a bit later in the show. Right now, we're just kind of looking at the game itself and some of the recurring issues here that are so frustrating. But Jake, getting back to that, you're right. And it feels like there is no way that Seattle can field the exact same version of itself next year and expect to win. Like, I have a really hard time looking at this season and saying this is injuries and bad luck. Because it doesn't feel like it's just injuries and bad luck. This feels more than, you having a Kevin King interception go against you when it honestly was an incomplete pass. Like, this feels this feels more than just Sidney Jones not getting that call. This is more than a broken finger, and this is more than Chris Carson needing surgery. This is more than just some bad luck and injuries. These are
Correct.
Recurring issues, big issues with a team that cannot field the exact same version of itself next year. I don't know if that means no Carroll. I don't know if it means no Russell. I don't know if it means that the two men can find a way to coexist and figure out how they want to move forward. But you cannot enter next season with exactly the same mindset, exactly the same roster, exactly the same identity or lack thereof, because you're going to run into exactly the same problems. We have watched it year in and year out. The only difference is they don't have as good of players as they did before. There used to be a trade-off. There used to be a trade-off that you'd have with, like, you know what? You can deal with a lack of creativity on offense because Marshawn Lynch can run all over defenders. You can deal with giving up some plays underneath because this defense will never get beat over the top and they'll hunker down in the red zone and stop teams from scoring. You could deal with all of that because there was a trade-off to it. There is no trade-off now because there's nothing that this offense in particular does well.
Correct. And when you don't have any of that, you don't have anything that you can go and lean off of. This is one of the things, Stacey, I can't tell you how many times I know on Twitter, you know, everybody wants post-game reactions. I could not tweet anything because I literally deleted and I typed and deleted about 20 different times because I had all these thoughts. And that's why I'm glad we have a radio show for 4 hours to talk through all of this with everybody. But to me, one of the things that is the hardest and the most disheartening in this discussion is, what do you build off of? What do the Seahawks do right now that you could point to and say, you know what, they're struggling right now, but they've got a real good young core here in this particular area that they can do really well, and they need to grow off of that. Offensively, this is what they do really well. Right now, you don't really have anything that you could point to on the field that says, yes, we can build off of this, and this can be the identity of our team moving forward. And that's why it's going to be really important to take a serious hard look and evaluation, not an emotional one, a hard look and evaluation as to how do you better this team moving forward. And when you have the opportunity, like the Seahawks do right now, and yes, I'm saying opportunity, because sometimes when you get in these situations, adversity breeds success. But only if you allow it to. Only if you are able to look in the mirror and really reflect on how do you get better and how, like a phoenix, Stacey, like a phoenix born through the ashes, how are you able to rise up and make yourself better again? And do you finally have that opportunity right now because it's you are being forced to stare at it? You're not allowed to gloss over it anymore. You're not allowed to say, hey, we're still in this thing, Stacey. Hey, we still got a playoff shot. Hey, we can still put a positive spin on all this. Are you finally now going to look at this for what it is and being able to address this moving forward? That is what I'm hopeful out of all of this, because that's the only hope that you have. Because right now, 3-7 with that horrible loss that we just witnessed against the Arizona Cardinals, that's the only thing I can hold on to right now.
A listener on the Mac and Jack's text line tuned in and thought Jake was crying. Totally fair. Totally fair. No, he is not, but maybe he should be, because I think a lot of Seahawks fans are after this one. Let's jump to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Well, with their loss yesterday, the Seahawks now sit 2 games back for the final NFC playoff spot with 7 games to go. Stacey, what is the real headline?
Russell Wilson is not the Seahawks' biggest problem, but the fact that he can't mask it is. Now, this is kind of the message that I had coming out of this game is I kept thinking, what's the Seahawks problem? How'd they get here? And I know that the popular answer is who's been performing awful lately, and Russell Wilson can't dodge that. He cannot. That burden, that onus is on him. And the onus is also on you as a franchise quarterback getting paid $35 million per year to mask a lot of those issues. That's what makes those players so special. There's like 6 of them, right? Like, a handful of these guys. And I think that there's a lot of overreaction to this issue. Someone messaged and was like, is Russell Wilson still worth a first-round pick? Yes, I still think a team would most certainly give up a first-round pick for Russell Wilson. But the problem that this team is having right now is that the bigger issues they have, in my opinion, it stems from drafting and personnel acquisition and trades and all of that, but there are other issues at play here, that Russell Wilson's no longer masking them. And you want to talk about getting to the postseason, that's what your problem is right now, because you needed to depend on that to get there this year.
Right, you certainly needed it. And is Russell playing up to his potential? No. Is the offense anywhere near performing up to their potential? Absolutely not. And that has been extremely frustrating to watch for everybody this season. But I do agree in that aspect that when you talk about the biggest issues with this team, it is talent acquisition, it is drafting, it is the decisions that you make in free agency year in and year out that have finally caught up to you. And then the other thing that I'm going to point to, Stacey, is the utilization of that talent. I mean, take perfect example, Dee Eskridge. You draft him in the second round, and I know that he's been out with concussion, but since he's returned and been cleared to play football, he's barely seen the field. He didn't even touch the football. And two games removed from, you know, being cleared and being on the field without any concussion symptoms. I mean, how is this guy barely getting on the field, barely being utilized, barely being a part of this team when he is your first pick in this draft because you thought that he could be a major impact player for you? And guess what? He still could be, but we have no idea because you don't use him. You don't give him the chance. And why is he not returning kicks? Why is he not returning punts? That is the other side of it that he is supposed to bring to the table that they have not allowed him to do up to this point, Stacey. I don't get it.
What from the 206? You guys are amazing. Why did I think I might hear an honest appraisal of Russ on your show? I'm sorry, 206. Were you expecting to tune into the show and hear me say that Russell Wilson is washed? Because let me tell you right now, most NFL analysts all over the league will not say Russell Wilson is bad. Russell Wilson has been solid for 10 years and has been part of a really special relationship between he and Pete Carroll. I'm not going to overreact to a bad second half last year and a bad first half this year and say Russell Wilson is horrible, cut him, he's awful. No, I don't think Russell Wilson is bad. What I am going to do is say Russell Wilson has been playing poorly for you. Russell Wilson has been an issue for you. Russell Wilson is not playing like a $35 million quarterback that should be masking these issues. That's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to suddenly, like, say trade this guy. He's not even worth a first-round pick. Like, that's honest. To me, that's not honest analysis because that is not the analysis and not the conversation I'm hearing from anyone else who's covering the sport that I've talked to.
But it's not only just that, but it's also what I'm seeing with my own eyes in terms of evaluating the game. There's bad plays. I mean, him missing two guys in the red zone for opportunities for touchdowns, that's bad. That's bad football. Right? But you're not going to compound that and say that everything else that he does from that point on is terrible in the game because that's not how the game went. So there's bad plays. There's bad decisions. There's no question. But being able to put it in its totality, I mean, come on. So, I mean, that's the thing that as we talk about this and we discuss it moving forward, let's have honest conversations. Let's have it based in reality as we're moving forward as well. So this second game back, he was better than what he was against Green Bay, but not anywhere near what he needs to be in order for his team to win football games, especially against the Arizona Cardinals, who is the best team in the division. And certainly after this game, I have no question, no doubt, no qualms saying that they are the best team in the NFC right
Fine.
Now.
Fine, the best team who are also missing several starters against you. You should have won this game. You should have won this game. You did not have an excuse not to win this game. But yes, Russell Wilson, play better. Russell Wilson, find the middle of the field. Russell Wilson, stop trying to play hero ball. All of this stuff is true. I just don't think I think that not being honest about the problems with this team, you're not going to solve them. If you look at one person, one coach, one player, and think that's the problem, you're wrong. And you're going to run into the same issues next year.
Headline rewrites.
UW will not be attending a bowl game this year as the Huskies were defeated by Colorado 20-17 on Saturday. Stacey, what is the real headline?
Oh, man. No offense, guys. A lot of Cougs fans going to hate me for this one. Because time is a flat circle, UW will be beating the Cougs in the Apple Cup.
Someone once told me time is a flat circle.
I don't make the rules. I do not make the rules. Is this trash talk mostly towards my own friends and my fantasy football thread, a bunch of whom are Cougs? Yeah. Yeah, it is. But it just feels like this is the nature of the Pac-12. It's a snake that keeps eating its own tail.
Well, I right now, with the way UW's playing, I'm sorry, Stacey. Time might be a flat circle, but that's the one thing that is probably going to change. I have the Cougs winning the Apple Cup in this one. I just think that when you're UW and you lose a game like this to Colorado, I mean, the 99-yard fumble return is just a perfect example of what this season has been for UW. I mean, just every opportunity to win, every opportunity to be successful, every opportunity to stake your claim in the Pac-12, and they fumble every single opportunity that they get. It just is beyond frustrating. And the only thing that you can hope for, as I talked about with the Seahawks being 3-7, is that they take this opportunity. Jen Cohen takes this opportunity given to her, her last opportunity, to be quite frank, and to make something good out of it. And they have to. Because seeing UW in this state is, I mean, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. It should never be the case. And it's just sad to see this team lose to a Colorado team that they are definitely better than talent-wise and should have beaten. But right now, they are so incredibly broken that they lose and get upsetted by a Colorado team that had no business being in that ballgame.
Oh, man, I'm getting a lot of people hating me on the Mac and Jack's text line. You know what? I'm fine with that. I'm going to do a little bit of a heel turn here. But someone who I know people always love is Dave Wyman. So I'm going to bring him on here, try to get some good faith back with listeners, because he's certainly a favorite. And he'll have some interesting stuff to say about this Seahawks team, having been on the call with Rabes. That's coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
This hour of Jake and Stacy is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Joining us right now to talk Seahawks football, a man with a great head of hair, Dave Wyman. Wyman, what's up?
What? What kind of intro was that?
It's brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. I had to make the connection. It was okay, just sitting there, right you. There.
She's a true pro, Wyman.
Thank
you. See
yeah.
how she weaved all that in
you
there?
You can't teach this. You just have to have it.
Ooh, I wouldn't use the word weave.
hey, Wyman, you know, looking at the defense, they've certainly made some improvements. I want to start on that side of the ball. Last week was probably their best game of the season. This week, obviously, they ran into a few more problems against Arizona. But it's also hard to blame them being on the field for 40 minutes. I mean, where do you fall on the defensive performance yesterday?
Well, it's funny, you know, during the broadcast, Rabel and I go back and forth because, you know, he's about the offense and I'm a defensive guy. I'm sure Jake and I would do the same thing. So yeah, I mean, look, I'm about the defense and that, you know, they could get off the field. You know, I'm going through a second, third time watching the game, and there's just a sequence where I don't know if you guys remember this, but Brian Monet's running towards the sidelines to get off the field, and they're totally confused in their coverage. And so he ends up getting penalized for that, which they decline because Zach Ertz is wide open and he's clapping his hands, you know, over in a zone. It looks like a last second adjustment by the linebackers and they're pushing away. And Zach Ertz is, yeah, clapping his hands like I'm wide open, and he gets, you know, 10 yards and a first down. So they just, you know, and then there's 5 yard drops in a zone. You can't do that. You can't do that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm more about the defense and the way that that's being run. And it just they look confused. And it's kind of the same thing with, you know, you look on the offensive side of the ball as well. You know, Pete Carroll said it like, you know, he comes back after the second go at his press conference. And he's like, look, this is just uncharted territory for me. I've never been at the helm of a team that's playing like this. So, and he didn't put it exactly that way, but sort of, and you could kind of read between the lines. So I just don't know what's going on. They don't seem to be playing together.
They certainly don't seem to be playing together at all. And Dave, we are hammering on the offensive side of the ball, no question. And you're right, I do tend to lean that way and look towards that side of the ball. But Dave, you really seem frustrated and disheartened about the defensive performance. And I understand that. You know, some people would say, look, the defense, you know, kept this team and gave them every opportunity. But why are you frustrated with the defensive performance, with Colt McCoy playing quarterback and not having DeAndre Hopkins and not having Chase Edmonds, who's a baller, by the way,
that's part
playing
of
that game? What frustrated you?
Yeah, that. I mean, you know, they don't have their best players out there. They don't have their best quarterback. I think Colt McCoy is a good quarterback, but I mean, some of those throws were shot puts. I mean, he's not. I mean, he wasn't throwing it very far downfield, and I thought it was pretty easy for him. And as you mentioned, all of those guys being absent, they didn't have, yeah, I don't know if you mentioned Chase Edmonds. I think you did. But, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, it's and they just, again, they're not playing together. I'm looking at a 16-play drive, a 13-play drive, a 9-play drive, which resulted in a missed field goal. And then, you know, you've got a 14 and a 10. So, yeah, there's plenty of opportunities for them to get off the field. And remember, they had two missed field goals. So this could have been, you know, 6 points more. And they just didn't look like a team that could make a run. And, you know, you're at home against the backup quarterback. And I feel like they have enough talent. So I think Jamal Adams, I think Quandre Diggs are really good players. It's such a bummer that they lost Trey Brown. You know, that was real. It's too bad because I think he had coverage. I think it was on AJ Green. And I think what happened to him is that he injured himself, and that's why he didn't make the play. I think the injury itself is what led to AJ Green being open. So it's just a shame that DJ Reed didn't play, you know, and they've got some good guys up front. So, you know, that, to me, that's not, it's not a team talent-wise that should be giving up 413 yards at home to a backup quarterback.
Right. Do you look at this defense, one of the conversations post-game, and one of the questions that Jamal Adams, Jordan Brooks, and Pete Carroll got from reporters is, hey, you guys are comfortable clearly giving up yards underneath as long as you don't get beat over the top. Is there any way that you can do both? Is there any way you could not give up 400 yards in a game and still follow like your basic principles on defense? Have you noticed that that philosophy, Pete Carroll's defensive philosophy, has changed over time, or has the biggest change just been they just used to be better at it? Because I was looking back at 2013 when presumably they still had the same kind of principles, but they also gave up the fewest yardage of any team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's about points. It's not about yards. So then, you know, for the last 3 years, they've given up just tons of yards. But yeah, if you can get takeaways or sacks or, you know, limit their points, then it's okay. But I just see that they're not playing together. And look, again, linebacker here. So, you know, when A.J. Green catches a 17-yard dig route and your linebackers – drops are at 6 yards. 6 yards. I mean, you need to get to 10 to 12, and that play doesn't happen. So, yeah, I'm just frustrated by that. You know, I feel like, again, talent, absolutely. Brooks, Wagner, you know, the whole crew, I think they're talented enough. It's just that, you know, they're biting up. They're just a lack of discipline, I think, as far as, you know, everybody doing the right thing. And then there's lots of confusion. You know, there's confusion on certain plays where I feel like there shouldn't be. So, yeah, it's just very frustrating. And I'm sure I'm speaking for a lot of Seahawks fans that, you know, and I think the thing is, if they were, you know, totally hurt, all these guys were banged up and you're playing second, third string guys and you just got to run a bad luck and you don't, you know, you just can't get a break that way, which they're kind of getting there, you know, as far as the corners getting hurt. But, you know, if it was that way, then I'd be like, hey, man, these young guys, they're struggling a little bit. But, you know, they're going out there. They're playing hard. It's not really that way. It's more like we've got a couple of – we got the highest paid linebacker. We've got the highest paid safety. And, you know, it's – or maybe it's second highest paid. I can't remember with Jamal. But, yeah, and then you've got a free safety who – you know, you're paying a pretty good amount of money, and I see the frustration in Quandre Diggs. You know, you see him out on the field, you know, frustrated and everything. So that it's one thing if it's this young team that's just, you know, making rookie mistakes, but it's not.
Yeah, the Seattle Times, and I love their coverage, but the front page had a picture where Quandre Diggs was in the corner of it, and I just remember thinking like, oh, man. Bummer for Quandre, who's been one of their better players this year, to be caught on the front page of like just a failure of a game. All right, he is Dave Wyman. Dave, we'll talk to you, well, maybe not Thursday for Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you this week sometime at some point
great.
For the huddle.
I will probably see you around the office.
Right. You can hear Wyman coming up at 2 p.m. with Wyman and Bob. Thanks, Dave. This hour of Jake and Stacey, again, is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Jake, I feel like my joke made sense. I feel, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I executed it in a way that was just as, if not more effective than the Seahawks offense executed their plays.
Oh, that's not hard to do.
You know what
that's
I mean? The bar was very low. I at least cleared that, so... You know, I can still point fingers here. Speaking of, I've got my number one reason as to why the Seahawks are 3-7 right now. I don't know how many of you will agree, but I am telling you, I am so confident that I am right. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
A reminder that it's Monday. You already knew that. That also means, though, that we're taking your calls at 1 p.m. every Monday, every Friday, 1 p.m. Open phone lines for you guys. I'll give you the question, the number to call, coming up a bit later today. First, though, it's going to be related to the question at 1 p.m. The biggest problem for the Seahawks. Now, Jake, I think that when you get to this point as a team where you've got a few star players, a head coach, a GM, a quarterback trio that have been so insanely successful together for a decade. This is a special stretch. Like, I don't want to get too negative here. What Seahawks fans have been treated to for the past decade, I know you have one championship. And I know you want more than that. I know you've had limited playoff appearances. I have been exceptionally critical of that. Has also been a very, very successful run of football for the last 10 years. Like, one other team has been more successful or more winning than you in the regular season. It's the Patriots.
One of the most successful decades in NFL history.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So I say that in that context. All right? Just know that. When I look at the blame pie for what's going on with this team, there's a lot of different slices to this one, but I might have the biggest slice, and it's not, it may not even be more than half the problem, but the biggest slice, the single biggest reason that I think they're 3-7 right now and that I think they've gotten to this place, it's really hard for me not to look at drafting, Jake. It is really, really hard for me not to look at the Seahawks roster and say, heading into this season, we might have been having conversations about Super Bowls, but one conversation we weren't having, rightfully so, is Seahawks have a top five roster. They should be in there. No, I wouldn't have given the Seahawks a top five roster. And what's a shame about that is there's no reason they can't be, because they have missed on so many draft picks. I'm not talking free agency, where I think they can make better moves. I'm not talking trades, where they've given up first rounders and brought in Jimmy Graham, Percy Harvin, and Jamal Adams. I'm talking about just draft picks right now. These are their top draft picks in each of the last couple classes. Dwayne Eskridge, okay. He goes by D. Eskridge, Jordan Brooks, LJ Collier, healthy scratch this week and has been a healthy scratch multiple times. Rashad Penny, don't have to tell you how wildly successful he's been here in Seattle. Malik McDowell, never played a snap for you. Jermaine Ifedi, never signed an extension with you. Frank Clark, maybe your best top, he was a second rounder, maybe your best first pick of a draft. You had to trade him away for picks because you didn't want to extend him. I understand the decision. I completely do, but you also don't have him on your roster anymore. Paul Richardson, Kristen Michael, Bruce Irvin, shout out to Bruce Irvin. You know what I mean? Like, it is hard to look through the draft classes that have been here under Pete, under John, and not see that as a very clear area where you've had misses. It doesn't even have to be a first pick, Jake. It can just be replacing a position group. The Seahawks made moves to try to replace, create heirs in the Legion of Boom in that secondary. You know who they chose in the span of two draft classes? They chose guys like Tedrick Thompson, Lano Hill, what was his name? Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, Shaquille Griffin. None of them are with you right now. Only Shaquille Griffin became a starter, and he didn't even sign a second extension with you. And you know what's sad about that? I totally agree with the decision to let him walk in free agency. I totally agree with that decision. That's a problem, Jake.
Yes. No, it is. It's 100% a problem. And when you talk about replenishing talent, they have not been able to do that whatsoever. They've not been able to successfully do that. So what you have been forced to do is you have been forced to create a roster that is very veteran heavy, and it is also very top heavy. So what is it? What does that leave you? It leaves your stars to have to perform like stars game in and game out. And you might hear that and you say, well, Jake, duh, that's why you're paying them. That's why they're stars. But I'm telling you, in the game of football, even your star players don't perform like stars every single game. You need a great supporting cast around them. You need depth. You need quality depth. And you need role players to be able to do their job effectively. And over the last 4 years, honestly, Stacey, that has not been the case. You have not had the depth that you have needed in order for this team to be a legitimate Super Bowl contending team, to be a team that legitimately can get into the playoffs and make a deep run. So what you've had is you've had your stars play well and perform well for the most part, and you have been able to get yourself 10-win seasons. You've been able to get yourself into the playoffs, and then you sputter. And there is a reason for that, because you don't have the supporting cast. You don't have the depth. And a lot of that depth is created through the draft. Mm-hmm. You don't even need superstars necessarily in your draft classes in order for you to maintain success. You need starters. You need role players. You need contributors. And Stacey, they haven't even been able to produce that on a consistent basis.
Yeah, it's a problem when you look back. Like if I were to ask the average person, hey, who are two of the most talented people on Seattle's roster? A lot of people might say DK Metcalf fairly or Tyler Lockett fairly. Love both those players. They're both stellar players. I think a lot of other people would say Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson. You drafted those guys a decade ago. And I understand and want to give credence and a little bit of flexibility to the idea that they had a stellar draft, that 2012 was one of the best drafts in like modern NFL history. But You need a resurgence. Jake, we talked about the Saints in 2017, a team that has been successful in a way that you've been successful, replenishing in 2017, getting Alvin Kamara, getting a couple other guys where it's like you had another group. And if you're going to pay a franchise quarterback that much money, you need to hit in the draft. A listener texted that in, and I agree with them 1,000%. If you are going to pay that much money to Russell Wilson – and Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams, if you're going to pay those big veteran-heavy salaries, then get rookies that are good.
Yeah, you need guys on their rookie contract to step up and perform. You also need and we haven't even talked about free agent acquisition, right? In recent years, what they've done free agent-wise has been very troublesome as well. So, I mean, just look at it this year for 2021. You make the decision to bring back Benson Mayoa, Kerry Hyder Jr., and Carlos Dunlap, and those guys have not performed for you whatsoever. I mean, they have barely made any serious contributions for this team. So when you talk about that, I mean, it's really hard to not point to that as the number one issue. And Stacey, when we have this conversation, you know whose minds everyone immediately thinks of? Drafting, free agent acquisition. Who are they going to immediately think of? They're going to think of the
John
GM.
Schneider.
They're going to think of John Schneider. The other name that you have to attach with that is Pete Carroll as well, because in this unique circumstance, Pete Carroll is John Schneider's boss. He is the vice president. He has a lot of control over the talent acquisition as well. So that is the unique part about this discussion, is that it isn't just John Schneider. It is also Pete Carroll in that conversation too, because you know, Pete Carroll has a lot of power and a lot of of those decision making. When it comes to the factors of how do they want to build their roster, who they want to go with, Pete Carroll has a lot of influence and a lot of weight in that conversation as well. So that is the unique part about this discussion, is that it's not just on one individual in a normal sense with a general manager. It is John Schneider, Pete Carroll that goes along in that discussion as well. And that has to be better. And if you're going to move on, you know, if you say and think to yourself that, hey, the best thing to do would be to break away from Russell Wilson, break away from Bobby Wagner, to go ahead and trade them and replenish your talent, well, you got to look at their recent history and how well they've been able to replenish that talent and say to yourself, do you trust them to be able to get that done? And that is another big question that you have to answer.
Yeah, it's really hard. I want to keep talking about this. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We have to go through our plays of the game, revisit how exactly the Seahawks got here, at least yesterday. We got four down territory, all kinds of good stuff coming up next. Don't go anywhere.